Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Is It Just Me, your weekly sort of insight into the rambling minds of myself, James Conrad Williams.
And me, Joe Elvin. Oh, I'm not telling you my middle name. It's not for public consumption. But hi, it's me.
I only use mine because James Williams is so boring otherwise. You know, you might find other James Williamses. In fact, I know there's a one-legged banjo player called James Williams.
I'm so you glad put into I brought Google. This up.
I know, sorry, yeah. We've really gone off on a random tangent already. Anyway. As ever, it's not just me and Joe here.
James One-Legged Williams.
You will never see life the same again. as ever, it's not just me and Joe. We're always joined by a fantastic guest. And today we've got a lovely young man joining us. He's an overachiever already, I would say. He's a DJ, he's a presenter. He's also, I believe, on the biggest breakfast show in London. Is that correct?
It is indeed, yeah.
Hey, it's Roman Kemp,
hello.
Everyone.
Hello.
Showbiz
hello.
Royalty.
No, the spawn of. No, I was just, that's funny about your middle names. So you both have middle names. I was never born with a middle name. I think my parents kind of ditched the middle name.
Well, I mean, but Roman considering
Roman how pretentious they already went.
That's pretty fabulous.
But it, I think so. Roman Kemp. Yeah, it's good.
But like, but at the same time, a lot of people go to me, so that's your stage name. And what's your real name? Although I'll tell you a funny story. So when I was a kid, I was always told that if I was in front of my granddad, my mum's dad, I had to say that I had a middle name. I had to say that my middle name was Henry, which was his name, because he was so offended that like we didn't put it on my birth certificate. So I don't have any middle name.
But was there a christening where
no christening?
Henry was a bit like
that. That would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
No, like literally, like nothing. Like it was just kind of my parents were just kind of like, oh, we've got a baby. His name's Roman. It's like I've got the middle name right, and then we were just like.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's a scary granddad.
But that like it's kind of like my faux middle name.
Yeah.
That I have.
But the thing is, I said my other two names are quite boring, so you need the Conrad to lift it. Whereas Roman Kemp is just a good rock solid name.
Well, my parents set the bar quite high because my sister's name is Harley Moon Kemp, as one word.
Harley Moon.
Yeah, as one word.
Like Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you get sick of people like me going, I just love your parents.
Yeah.
I just grew up idolizing your parents.
It's more so like what were your parents on at the time? but no, I believe that my name comes from my auntie was doing a movie with Francis Ford Coppola's son. With Francis Ford Coppola, and his son is called Roman.
And my auntie as well.
And mine.
Exactly. Yeah. Sadie,
Oh. Yeah. No, that's not my auntie.
Actually, not my auntie.
But I'll always be your auntie.
Yeah. But for those who don't know, obviously, your dad is Martin Kemp, your mum is Shirley, of Pepsi and Shirley fame. Look it up if you don't know. You need to find out.
I mean, but, Roman, when I was younger than you, I was queuing up to buy tickets to see your dad and your uncle. And it was, you know, it was all I cared about. And I love them, for actually, because I'm from Australia, they came to Australia, yeah. So...
I remember Joe actually running out of her office when we used to work together at Glamour, when I think when your uncle befriended her on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
She got very excited by that.
That's it, I can drop down.
Have you met my dad and my uncle?
I've not met your dad, I've met your uncle.
There's two different people.
Yeah.
Like personality-wise, right. They're completely different.
Which one's the better one? Which one should I be friends with?
It depends what you want.
Okay.
I mean, I think you should go with your dad. I think you should go with your dad.
My dad's like, you know, this super nice, super open guy who's just, you know, open to like kind of everyone. Whereas Gary's very, you know, like everything's very straightforward with him. It has to be, you know, very factual and very by the book. Like, he's, you know, he's a creative mind that's very, you know, shows in the songs that he's written and the way how, you know, he formed that band. You know, Spandau Ballet is his band. So it's, you know, he's like a captain, he's like a leader, that's what he does. My dad just kind of bumbles along behind him.
But basically, with your kind of DNA, with that kind of, you know, sort of, with two parents basically obviously in the public eye, was there any danger of you being like a plumber?
Do you know what? It wasn't just that. It was like, I think, if your parents do a certain thing, like, I think you are, of course, more inclined to see that as a genuine career option, I think. When I was 16, I left school and I was signed on a development deal with Universal Music, and I was writing songs for other people, like on a publishing deal. So I was writing songs for other people.
Yeah.
And that's because my mum, when I was 8 years old, bought me the first album that I ever had, which was Marshall Mathers LP, Eminem, which you can imagine.
For an 8 year old.
For an 8 year old, me asking what my mum, what VD is. Do you know what I mean? At eight.
Valentine's Day.
Valentine, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like kind of, it was very strange. And, you know, she wanted me to show how, you know, certain situations you can translate that into songwriting, which then goes into creativity. So, it you know, that was always kind of in us. My sister now is a very successful portrait photographer, but also has a publishing deal, you know, writing country music. Yeah. So it's like, there's always a lot to live up to. That I think because my sister kickstarted her career very early at 16. It was less pressure from my parents. It was more pressure because I need to fulfil my sister as well.
But you're not doing too badly, are you? Come on now. Right? I mean, your trajectory, I think, over the last couple of years alone has been pretty impressive. Right? Because you started off, obviously, at Capital, didn't you?
4 years ago.
And now you're pretty much on the biggest show.
The big one.
The breakfast show.
Yeah, so I started doing, like, as you can imagine, 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. weekend.
The fun slot.
Yeah. Do you know what? Like, you know, my producer at the time, who's my best mate, Joe, he was that show that I had, that 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. was the first show that he ever did on Capital. Before that, he was, you know, just a junior producer on a breakfast show. And so we've just kind of built this thing over the past, like, 4 years, you know, and it's like, and those 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. gave us, like, flight hours, do you know what I mean? Like flying hours, like literally, like we could just test everything.
Yeah.
And it was a lot different to what they were doing on Capital at the time. It was, you know, all I was ever told was on Capital, you can't talk for longer than a minute. Like, really? That's what I was always told. When I first joined, that was what I was told. And I remember we felt like our bosses weren't actually listening to our show because it's 1 a.m. to 6 a.m.
I was wondering.
It's 6 till 9.
And yeah, then, come
did you
on.
Ever have any clangers at that hour that came back to bite you on the ass?
Never that came back to bite me.
Right.
You just kind of like,
so it's the perfect training ground as well.
Of course. But also, like, you know, you got to remember, people think that, like, you don't do the desk or, like, the buttons. Let me tell you, after 2 weeks, they expect you to be fully on the buttons.
Yeah.
Like, no one helping you. Producer just, you know, is there saying, maybe we could talk about this, or, you know what I mean? Like, kind of, like, reword it. But in terms of, like, radio as a whole, I found it so interesting and found it something that just constantly, I've got kind of ADHD when it comes to like creativity and like and thinking of different ideas and what can I get away with and what can I, you know, how do I push this scenario as far as possible. And I think those shows that we were doing, because it was almost a blessing in disguise that my bosses weren't listening to the show, because by the time they did listen to it, they go, oh, we've got good listenership on this. It must be what you're doing. What is it that you're doing? And then it's like, well, we're talking for 2:30 and we're doing like big content pieces and all that thing. So we translated that into an evening show, which then became this show where the artists and the labels wanted to put, you know, wanted to go on that show as opposed to the current breakfast show at the time. So it was a natural kind of move. But let me tell you, like when they come to you and they say, you know, I've grown up like on Chris Tarrant. Like that's what I it was never anything else in the car. It wasn't Radio 2, it wasn't Radio 1, it was always Chris Darren, and then it was Johnny, and then, you know. So for me, when I walked in the room and they said to me, they were like, look, you know, we want you to do breakfast, I was like, yeah, cool, what, like in like 2-3 years? And they were like, no, no, we need you to start next month.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing, yeah. But I'm like, oh my God, this is, you know, the best thing ever. And then a sudden realization of, oh my God, my life is over.
Relentless time yeah. slot. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And also, were you intimidated by it? Or were
I'm
you...
not intimidated. No. I was never intimidated by it. I was never intimidated. Because, again, like, I find it very hard to be embarrassed, like, on a stage. If someone doesn't like what I'm doing, then that's okay. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'll try something else. Yeah. Like, why won't... Not necessarily... change myself, but you know, I just want to make people have a nice time, and if that means it's in the evening or in the morning, it doesn't necessarily matter to yeah. me. So it wasn't that, because I felt like it was a natural progression. I felt like, well, I want to do that in the future, so I want to just do it now. But it was that thing of, oh my God, I'm gonna have to get up at 4:45 every day.
But then you weren't really getting, when you were doing the 1-6 slot, I mean, you couldn't be a social animal then, or could you?
No. To be fair, I got away from that quite quickly. I only did that for about a month.
Oh, right. Okay.
Now I'm like 9-10 months into breakfast.
Are you sleep deprived?
Yeah.
Are you?
No, it's you know what? It's one of those things where I wouldn't have it any other way.
One day when you have children, that'll be like a piece of cake.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'll be...
Yeah, you're right. They think of this as good training, having kids. Yeah,
that's exactly it. Like, you know, and I think, you know, with the support that I have from my parents, when that show came about, it was like, no-brainer. Like, you know, you don't... That, in my house, like, that's the thing of, like, you don't even second-guess that job.
Yeah,
you take it.
Absolutely, that's a bedrock from which everything else can happen.
Yeah.
So, what are your ultimate goals? What sort of other things do you want to do?
Genuinely, like, I think for me, it's I want to be a part of projects that I love, and that was, you know, the Capital's great for me, and they've always been so amazing in terms of being very supportive in like the ideas that I have, like the big TV ad that we've got out, and like, it's weird and it's weird, very strange. That was all.
It's all again, come from you.
Yeah, like myself and my producer, you know, Joe. And Joe, as I say, he's my best mate. We've now got a production TV production company that we run together, and we've just done a deal, and we're doing a show with James Corden's company. And it's like it's weird. Like you know, it's all just kind of bred from creativity. And I think
maybe you could have James's job one day.
Yeah, oh my God,
I would love to. That's the thing. But you know, I see. You know, someone asked me the other day, and I think they said, you know, I was at the Brits. They were like, oh, you know, would you want to host it one day? And I was like, fuck yeah, like, of course I would, you know what I mean? And it's like, I, of course I want to do that. And then I read in the paper the next day, I was like, confidence. I was like, well, what else am I meant to think? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's kind of like, well, I'm like, oh, no, I'm all
right.
But
it would be weird if you didn't want to do that
So, you know, but I do set myself, like, those targets. And, you know, I set myself a target when I first started Capital to be on Breakfast within 10 years. And I did it within 3. So it was... For me, like Brits is the next 5 years, you know.
I tell you, if men have to start apologising,
I know. I was going to say,
then there's hope for nobody.
I think there's nothing wrong. I think it's being fearless. And at the moment, I think, you know, lots of us tend to overthink things, and you know, we almost talk ourselves out of doing stuff. And I think fearlessness is what you've got, which is great. And I think more of us could benefit from it.
I think it's less of fear. I think it's fearless. I think it's positive reinforcement
and just excitement about opportunity. And
And you know, I think that. You know, and I've always got this classic thing that my mum always, you know, my mum is like mad spiritual and like, you know, I've always been brought up on positive reinforcement and mantras, etc., which sound really weird, but if you really think about it, realistically think about it, it's so true. Do you know what I mean? And you know, positive reinforcement and kind of giving yourself that self-belief that it will happen one day, and it's just that will get you through times where you're doing a job that you really hate, but you know that that's going to be the stepping stone to the next one.
Yeah.
Do you know?
I think that's what I do.
Do you know what's going to happen right now, though? We're now going to talk. I don't know how positive we're going to be about the next few things, but we are now going to move on to some serious debates, some serious topics, Roman. Are you ready? I think you were born ready.
I'm a debater. Yeah.
Oh wow, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, I like it.
Is it just me who doesn't have that many close friends? Now let me just explain myself. I'm not from this country. Most of my friends are people I've met through work, and I look around at particularly, like, you know, my English friends, my British friends, who've got friends on Facebook, who are going out for coffees every 5 minutes with the kids they went to school with, you know, their friends who are there for births, deaths, marriages, divorces, the whole thing. I don't feel like I've got that little hive of girlfriends who I can just call on a Saturday morning and go and have a Sex in the City day shopping with. We're all too busy. They're all people I've met through work. We're friendly, but I don't have any of my besties around me. Is that weird?
I don't think so. And I think, you know, it's... It must be pretty hard, obviously, coming over from a different country, and you get that so many times with different people, because then most of the time, I think when people emigrate to somewhere, their friendships will be born through work.
Yeah.
And they're so emotional. And that's one of the things that I always find so interesting about men as well. And, you know, something that I campaign for a lot within the men's mental health, etc., which is the fact that, you know, past the age of 30, men will lose 75% of their friends.
Wow.
Like, which is ridiculous.
And do you know why that is?
Yeah, it's because most of men's relationships, like if I was to become friends with any former guy, it would be, we look for social likeness with the other person. So our hobbies, football, stuff
and
like
that. And you talk through subjects.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're less so inclined to talk about emotion, which girls can connect, obviously, more. Because they're more emotionally advanced than men, to be totally honest. And I think that, you know, that's a massive thing. And because we don't have that emotional attachment with between guys, we lose all our friends after the age of 30. And also because you can become involved in, you know, your family, your job, or whatever. So that's why I think for me, it's always been, I've got a very small friend group. I'd say 3 best mates, and that's it. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that will kind of be... as far as it will go, like me, it would be 3 best mates, a girlfriend, and my family. You know, that's kind of how I choose to use it. And those 3 guy friends that I have, I make sure that I have an emotional relationship with them. Like, in the sense of, we talk about everything, as opposed to just about football. Or something.
But it's quality, not quantity, then, basically, isn't it? Because I think, I have a deep mistrust of people who have far too many friends. Like,
You trust me so much.
Losers like Joe. No, but like, for example, like the other day, somebody befriended me on Facebook and I accepted it. And then I realised they had nearly 2,000 friends and I instantly defriended them. Because I just thought,
why? Because you didn't feel exclusive.
No, I wasn't feeling loved. I wasn't feeling important. No, but come on, the simple truth is that person, I'm never going to turn up in the algorithms. I'm never going to, you know, we are not going to have any kind of interaction. And, you know, some of those ones, you said hello once at a party, you had one conversation. And it was a bit like, oh god, did you really have to befriend me anyway? So,
but my producer does that. He does that.
What, befriends everyone?
Facebook's
not LinkedIn, you know?
But that's weird. No, but it's weird. Like, that was the one thing that I always find a bit strange. When you meet someone once at a party and then the next day they've got you on Facebook.
I do not like that.
But you know what?
He does it.
But I've actually asked people why, because I've actually got to a point where I've met those people again. I've actually, by the way, do you just do that to everyone? And they said, well, one of the reasons they gave was they're so bad with names, so they feel if they instantly accept people or befriend people on Facebook, it's like reminding them of their name, or they can always then go back to the Rolodex of Facebook and find their name again.
Do you know why? I found this really interesting. Do you know why you forget names?
Why?
Because your brain will tell you that that's useless information. No, I'm being serious.
Really?
I'm serious. When you meet someone, your brain will instantly know. Like, I could see your face and I would be like, oh, fuck, I can't remember her name, but I know exactly what she does.
Yeah.
Because the useful part of information is someone's occupation. Really? So you're more likely to understand someone's occupation than their name.
But okay, where does that leave people who basically don't remember anything about you, your face or anything?
They just need no.
They're just twats.
That's just, as I've told you before, you're just not that memorable.
Exactly.
You're just not that memorable. Yeah. Sorry, you didn't make the cut.
I've got into a tirade before about people forgetting my name, so. No, but that might explain it. I mean, I need to get over that.
But you've got loads of friends, haven't you, James?
No, I think I'm very fortunate, I think, in the sense that I've managed to maintain friendships, and I think this is what you've touched upon. You know, I've got friends I've known since the age of 3. I've got friends from the age of 11, I've got friends from university, I've got friends from pretty much every job I've worked at. But, you know, my belief is, and it might sound really like a bit hippy-dippy, but the truth is, I think if you connect with somebody and you genuinely have a connection, you become friends, it doesn't really matter. You don't, and I do think you have to put in some effort and some legwork. But the truth is, you can then go weeks, months, years. But if you have that connection, you'll reconnect as easily as you did the first time.
Yeah.
And also, I'm not a high maintenance friend, so I will never guilt trip my friends into doing things, or why haven't I seen you? I need to see more of you. Because that's when it becomes a bit of a chore. So I'm not high maintenance, and I'm also, I guess, quite confident in my friendship. So I don't put any of those pressures on people, and then I guess they don't put them on me. Like, you know, it's quite interesting. I was talking to some friends the other day about this, and loads of my friends seem to be requiring one-on-one time. Like, they really need to feel like cherished and nurtured. And I suddenly went, no one's asking me for one-on-one time. Yeah. And they'd be like, well, that's because you're kind of, we have no problem with you. You're kind of like chilled out and cool, and we know you're, there's no weirdness. You, if we have a problem with you, you'll just tell us. Yeah. Whereas I think lots of people aren't as open, so they feel the need to then have these weird one-on-one, almost like counselling sessions. But
sure.
But you know, I mean, I'm very lucky, but I also, you know, I mean, I moved, I'm not from where I live, you know, but I'm from 200 miles away. So I've got a little bit of what you've got, Joe, but I certainly, you know, no, I think anyone who's moved country, I think it's only natural you will feel that certain, you don't have that core, initial, people from your, from the, you know, your formative years.
My thing is, I've had, there's always been a stigma for me when it comes to making friends, because you got to remember, every school that I ever went to, any social event when I was a kid, like when I was, you know, young, like from the age of 5, parents have been like, that's Martin Kempsky.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that other mums would say to their kids,
Be friends with them.
Oh my God, that's so hard.
But what it did was that it helped me, and I don't think, I genuinely, if it wasn't for that, I don't think I'd be doing the job that I do, because it helps me a lot in terms of, my mum taught me, you know, and told me that I do have to, it's not judging someone, it's reading someone and kind of working out those little nuances that you can kind of tell. And like, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why I have so few friends anyway, is because I always kind of went into it like, but you really look deeper into someone to see if they're genuinely a nice person.
You've got a good bullshit detector moment.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Can I ask though, were you ever at any point tempted to sort of not use your real name and to maybe change that?
Never.
No.
Never. I've never had that. My cousin does that.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it. And it actually like upsets me. Like, no, genuinely. Yeah. Like, you know, Finley, my cousin, he doesn't want to be known as Finn Kemp. He doesn't want to be known as that. He wants to be Finn Monroe, which is his middle name. You know, he won't mind me saying this, like, because I think that I don't get it. I personally don't get it. I think the person that I'm most proud of is my mom and my dad. So it's my family, it's part of my DNA. Why would I, you know what I mean? So, you know, a name at the end of the day is,
it's just,
that's
a name.
What we were talking. It's useless.
Yeah.
It's useless.
I mean, I've forgotten it already, to be honest.
It's useless information, right? And it's like, for me, it was, I think when it comes to, you know, going back to it, making friends or anything like that, I think that the first thing people always say is, Kemp, are you Ross's kid, or are you Martin's kid? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's funny. And in a way, it's bad because people are more inclined to talk to you.
Yeah.
Because I do get that. Like, if it comes up in a topic, people will be like more likely to, you know, try and create a conversation. And it's just about me kind of seeing through that. That's why the friends that I have, those three best mates that I have, I met them when I was 6 years old.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, that may, even though I don't have anywhere near as glamorous a reason for having a tight-knit circle of friends, that does make me feel better.
No, I mean,
about it. Yeah.
Same with girlfriends as well. I don't. No, I mean, I'm being serious. Like, because the job.
As in friends who are girls or
No, girlfriends. Like, taking people out on a date. Like, I know for a fact that I've been on at least 2 dates where the girl has been there because they think they're either going to meet Ed Sheeran or Justin Bieber. I'm not joking. Like, you can tell. Like, you can tell. Like, just being there. And, you know, and it is that weird thing of, like, and that is a weird thing of about dating. That's why the two relationships that, you know, I've had over the past kind of 2 years, you know, doing stuff within public eye, they've been with people who don't watch TV, don't listen to the radio, have, you know, have emigrated to this country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know why. That's kind of what I've done.
Because you know there's no agenda.
That's your mechanism.
Yeah.
That's true, isn't it? Yeah. You know there's no hidden agenda. Yeah. They're literally taking you for what you are at face value. Well,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, ultimately it's about what makes you happy. But I think, you know, I think there is, I do sometimes worry for kids growing up now where, you know, in this sort of social media where it's about followers. Never mistake friends and followers, you know? Followers are very different things.
Some people call them fans.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well,
that's the worst type of person. Anyone that calls their Instagram followers fans.
Yeah.
you are a bad
or
person.
Your Facebook friends, your fans. I mean, Joe, you we have many, many fans, obviously.
I don't think I've got one.
I don't use Facebook,
man. No. Yeah, fair enough. Okay, but yeah. But you know.
We put that world to rights.
We absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So absolutely, it's totally fine to have very few friends, but make sure they're good ones.
Be as unpopular as me.
Yes.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So, Roman Henry Kemp.
Oh, no. I think that's the first time that's ever been publicised. So you've got that.
Wait, we got that exclusive on the faux middle name.
Yeah.
And Joe Elvin. I won't say her middle name because she's going to kill me. Joe Elvin.
Do you know it?
It's Marie, isn't it?
Oh, jeez.
Joanne Marie Elvin.
Leave that out. Let people get fine.
Yeah, please submit your suggestions via
for
email.
A much more glamorous middle name, please.
Anyway, is it just me, guys, that has a pathological hatred for coloured toilet paper?
Yeah.
Now, I know we're going deep here, Roman. I mean, this is the kind of level you expected. Literally toilet level.
It's a generational divide, isn't it?
Well, I don't know if it is.
I think so.
Because I'm talking about... No, I'm saying I went to my friend's house at the weekend. This is where this idea came from. Mm. And they had what I can only describe as sort of toffee-coloured toilet paper. And I literally, I had an internal judgment. I know we shouldn't judge people.
Who coloured toilet paper?
It looked like toilet paper that had been used to wipe poo that had then been put through a very low sort of temperature wash, so it hadn't actually come out. So it was a very washed out poo colour.
Did you ask about it?
Oh, I came straight out and I said, I'm not going to lie, I walked in there and I just judged you for the colour of your toilet paper.
And what did they say?
They laughed out loud. They went, that was the only thing left in the shop. And I went, no, it wasn't. I don't believe that.
Okay.
Because they also had some white...
Yeah.
For the record, I will only...
I've used tissues. I would, honest to God, use tissues before I bought blue or pink.
Oh, my God.
Any other colour.
It actually makes my skin prickle.
There's different levels, right? Blue reminds me of the hospital. Pink reminds me of my nan's house. My nan. Both sides. My dad's parents, my mom's parents, both had... Pink.
It's the kind of thing that you would find if you lifted up the toilet dolly skirt.
Yeah.
And do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So
it's knitted.
Yeah. I think that like it is such a weird thing. I think it might be that generational thing, but I don't understand who started it.
Is it
because it was a fad?
I know it's silly, right? Because I know that white toilet paper is just as bleached and chemicalised, but I honestly feel like I'm going to get a bladder infection from
the coloured
toilet paper more than I think that about white toilet paper.
Also, my idea is, you know, you're not painting with particularly nice material, so, you know, just stick with a nice white canvas. You know, it's never going to look very good against anything, but let's have a nice...
Why do you get upset so much?
But then why... Okay, so why... Yeah, why does that upset you? Why is white the socially accepted level?
I just think it's like the bathrooms, isn't it?
And like I said, brown is never a particularly attractive colour. So at least against white, it's just brown. Whereas when you put it up against peach or pink or blue, it takes on a very weird... I mean, we're really going places with this subject, but, you know, it just gets an even more unattractive hue.
Well, funny you say that. I don't like that either, but no. I just think...
No quilted for you guys.
Again, being the immigrant, it goes hand in hand with another feature of oldie worldy British bathrooms.
Right.
Well, your toilet's flush the other way, so I mean, yeah.
And, you know, and it's one of the many ways in which it's a superior system. But it's the carpet in the toilet.
Oh,
I
hate it so much.
And the weird little rugs around the loo.
And it's only sort of like started being phased out of British bathrooms.
It is weird.
It really upsets me.
Yeah. What, pink carpet?
Or any carpet. Carpet.
Yeah, my again.
It's so weird.
Pink shag carpet was in my nan's house. And that was very strange.
But
there's no cleaning away misfired target practice there, is there? There's
but
none.
Do you have like actual coloured toilets as well, like, and coloured sinks? Obviously, because I always think it's weird when people have like pink sinks and avocado toilets. You know, I mean that has died out. I think.
Yeah, I think a toilet needs to be a very zen place. I do judge people on their toilets.
Oh, really?
I think so. I think because you've got those types of friends who have like a funny toilet and they've got like a weird photo in it or like...
Do you know, I used to have an auntie who had a like a foamy cushioned seat cover.
Oh.
And I'm not going to lie, I liked it.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, I look at you differently now.
Where do you guys stand on...
Knock it. It was really comfortable.
Well, where do you guys stand on the squatty potty? Have you heard about this?
Yes, I had to use one of those in China.
And did it change your life?
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, it's like a little stool that apparently changes your position.
It's just a hole in the ground.
But isn't it supposed to make you,
easier,
I mean, less stress on your body? And
I wasn't sold on it.
Your face is saying that, Roman,
no,
I have to say.
I wasn't sold in it. I used them in China and there was a lot of bad accuracy.
What colour was the toilet paper?
with, I don't even know. I honestly, think I was so disturbed by this whole scene, and there was no doors on the toilet, so you were standing next to someone who was doing the same thing as you.
Oh no!
This is at the Great Wall of China.
Oh, it's one of the wonders.
One of the wonders of the world. Hey, no, go look at that. Go look at the toilet. Yeah, that's a wonder of the world.
Note yourself, Joan. Never get caught short of the Great Wall of China.
No, do not go before. God.
Oh, well, I mean, basically, you might disagree with us if you're listening at home thinking, I love a bit of peach
probably
toilet paper.
Offended everybody.
We probably have. And if we have, let us know. We love hearing from you. Do send us an email letting us know your thoughts.
And if you do have coloured toilet paper, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, but please explain yourself.
I'd just like to know the why.
Yeah. Well, tell us, is it just me podcast at gmail.com? We love getting your emails. And in fact, we got a lovely email this week from Hannah Ross, who listened to a recent episode where we went into one about the lack of manners and we were all worried.
Hello, Hannah.
Yeah. And basically, Hannah has tried to basically give us some faith back in the world, Joe. She basically said, hi there, guys. I found the segment on the 6th of March episode about manners very interesting. I wanted to restore some faith in humanity as I've recently been to London with my friend who's visually impaired, and every time we got on a tube, at least two people offered to give her a seat.
Oh.
So it's good to know there are good people out there.
Well done, London.
So
well
yes,
done.
Thank you, Hannah, for sending that in. And yeah, if you are listening, do send us an email. We love hearing from you.
Right, now this one is very contentious. Well, even more contentious than toilet paper, believe it or not.
We're not scared to go there.
Is it just me, Roman Kemp and James Williams, who feels sometimes very much inclined to want to split up a friend with her terrible partner? His or her terrible partner?
Well, it is. It's a minefield, isn't it?
It's tough to talk about in riddles, isn't it?
Yeah.
it's not even talking about it in riddles. I think it's the bigger picture of it. I think everyone always has a judgment in terms of, it depends on how close that friend is to you, how you want that person to be treated. I have I get this all the time because I have a sister. I have a sibling who, you know, I'm really close with, and she'll have boyfriends, which is the same in terms of me, like in terms of the emotional attachment that I would have with, like, with a best friend, you know, in terms of the sister. She's had boyfriends in the past who are just emotionally inept. Like, and you know, and I think that it's down to you as a friend or as a sibling or anything like that to be that person to kind of say that and think, you know, as long as it's a positive kind of outcome at the end of it, you want that person to feel happier.
That's the risk, isn't it? If you could, I'm thinking of really dear friends of mine who have kind of had it stepped in with a gentle viewpoint, and if they really love that person, then you're the bad guy. And then it's awkward forevermore. So I struggle with it.
Well, the total minefield is when, you know, they get to that point where, you know, and I always, because I have been burned in the past, and now my rule is I always wait and I'd bite my tongue. But inevitably, that you have those sort of, you know, episodes where they go, right, that's it, I'm done, I'm dumping them, it's all over. And you're like, thank God. And then you agree with everything, all the bad stuff they say. You say, you know, they did this, and then they get back together. Yeah. And then it just is super awkward.
If your best friend was dating someone who you met them for the first time, you really did not like them, it wasn't nice, it was awkward, they were a bit weird, and like just not very nice, basically. And then they said to you the next day, so what did you think? What would you say?
Oh, well, the thing is, my problem is, you see, my face cannot lie.
Right.
So any close friend of mine, I don't need to actually verbalise it. I could say, oh, well, yeah, they seem okay. I won't lie. I would never say I love them, they were my new best friends.
You said they seem okay.
I would lie.
They seem lie.
Absolutely. If it was a first impression, because I know I can be quick to judge as well, so I'd want to give myself...
But I think your lack of a glowing appraisal is enough for them to know you're not fully on board.
See, I had this discussion the other day. I went out with my friend and her best friend. And her boyfriend, the new boyfriend. The new boyfriend was horrible. Really, really not nice. Like, and very rude, and like the way how he was with her was odd, and you know, it wasn't my place to say anything because, you know, it's my friend's best friend. But I would have expected my friend to say something because it was awkward, and like, if that's your best mate, like, I'd be like, you know, you kind of deserve better in that situation. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I find it odd when people feel a taboo around their best friends. And I think then you realise how much of a friend you are to that person.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I completely see that. But I also see that you, if, particularly if it's someone, you want your friend to be happy. Mm. And so there's that part of you that's like, well, if he makes them happy, maybe it's not my place to be the sayer of doom. Maybe I just don't get what this is. Do you know what I mean?
But if your friend is, you know, is your best friend or anything, they would understand you vocalizing your own thoughts.
I mean, I'd say the one thing
this
I will say.
To me not having
maybe this is why a friend. Yeah. Maybe this is why I have. Yeah.
The one thing I will say is I'm a big believer when it comes to me choosing friends or whatever other halves, I have to have that initial reaction where I get on with them straight away. I'm quite instinctive with people. You know, I feel like you're either a kindred spirit or not. And that doesn't mean I don't like you. It just means I don't feel that initial, you know. But it is true that when it comes to your friends' partners, you very rarely get that initial because, you know, there is that one step removed. And I then will always make an effort. I won't write them off. And I will say there are some of my friends' partners in the past who I actually didn't like. But I thought, you know what? I can't let this come between me and my friend. And I persevered. And I got to a place whereby, for as much as I would never say we were best friends, but I certainly got to a place where I had a better understanding of that person. Yeah. And I actually could be in their company. I didn't find them annoying and they didn't get on my nerves.
Definitely got one of those with a guy I found so bloody annoying. And I still do. Mm. But I found things... He also really makes me laugh. Mm. And I found my slipstream for where I can love him. And they've been together a very long time. So if I'd said, oh, no, I would have been wrong.
Yeah. I'm very much like... My mum and I are very similar in these sort of situations. My dad and my sister are completely different. My dad and my sister are always benefit of the doubt to everyone. I'm very quick to, as I say, make an assumption. But make it an educated assumption, not like... Oh, I don't like you, so I'm not going to speak to you. Like, genuinely, like think about it, and, you know, and but if I feel like I'm not liking the energy of someone, or if I'm not enjoying something, that is impossible for me to not show.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Which is weird, because it's my job to interview people, so, like... There's sometimes you get people that come in and that you don't like the energy instantly. You're trying to get rid of the energy.
That's not me and Joe, right? you're not talking. He's looking at us when he's saying
let's
that.
Let's see how quickly I walk out of the room. But no, it's true, and I think that, you know, the real thing that I can tell with this is from my friends, or like even the way how my mum has reacted to girlfriends of mine in the past, where like she'll be very like upfront in terms of, do you like? Does she like them? Or like,
but is anybody good enough?
Yeah, so true.
But not only Roman, just that,
little
but
Roman
no,
Henry.
No,
I'm gonna get rid. My mom's gonna love it. But no, I think that with your mates, the relationship that I have with my friends is so, as I say, that's something I've actively tried to do is make it very emotionally open. Like we talk about everything, you know.
Yeah.
There's been so many times where I've had partners where my friends have been like, I don't like them.
And they've been, that's the feedback, literally, from the get-go.
First meeting.
Yeah.
And what's your reaction to that, though?
Okay. You know, it's not going to make it, but then...
But did that then change how you felt about that person you were dating?
No, never. No, okay. I'm very, you know, outwardly spoken and confident in my own, you know, mind.
Yeah.
But I think that it's interesting to know and hear other people's thoughts, and especially those people that I believe have my best interests at heart.
I think it has to be a case-by-case thing, don't you think? Because I think ultimately it's like everything in life, it's about feedback. Some people can take criticism and some people can't. Some people can take total honesty, some people need more sort of, you know, wrapped in cotton wool mentality. So I just think you have to always know the limit of the person you're talking to, right?
Yeah. And then you adapt it. And also the person has to expect it from you.
Yes.
I 100% have my mates straight up said to them, girlfriend of 3 years, break up with them.
I suppose my main caveat on all this would be if I thought that somebody was being abusive or really running that person down, then I wouldn't hesitate to have a word. But if it's just they really annoy me, I might bite.
That's
my
about you,
for
isn't
bit.
It? Yeah.
Yeah.
It might just be just you.
Yeah.
Also, I'm a big believer. I mean, I always say this because, you know, you often get this from. Because people always ask when you do our job, you know, you meet famous people and you have it all the time as well. Yeah. You know, what's so-and-so like, who's a bitch, who's an arsehole? And I'm a big, I always say this, you know, everyone's entitled to have a bad day. So sometimes you might have, your first episode will be an awful experience to that person, but I always give someone a second chance. And then, lo and behold, most people will come back and be lovely.
You have several bad days.
Oh, really? Don't say that.
Sorry, but actually,
you don't
want to
go on the show. She doesn't want to go on the show anyway.
Oh, dear.
She's not.
You're breaking all those.
Most press friendly.
No.
Yeah.
But you know, I think, I always say, you know, if you're an arsehole twice, you're an arsehole.
Yeah.
You know, but we can all be an arsehole once.
Yeah, 100%. I give that exact answer every time, you know. And you know, you've got to have a nice understanding of that. And I think that if you work within our industry and you see so many people that do and you see people on different days, you're aware that some days can just be horrendous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I had a really, really funny situation the other day. I can talk about what happened on the phone. So I spoke about this on air, it was the Brits day. And the day after the Brits, keeping in mind I'd been up for probably 37 hours by this point, right? Because I have to be. I was working at the Brits, I finished the Brits, I went out, I did two DJ gigs back to back, like, and then I had to go into work at 5 a.m. I think I maybe had like 45 minutes sleep.
Wow.
Anyway, the next day comes, I have to do another job. And that job takes me to about 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock comes, I've got to do a phone interview with a magazine. Won't say which one, but magazine. And I did an interview, and I'm not gonna lie, like I was tired. I was really genuinely trying my best to be really, you know, attentive and give full answers, which, you know, let's be honest, journalists want you to give, like, in those types of situations. And we finished the interview, and what happens in those things, you guys will know, is it will be me on the phone, it'll be a conference call between myself, my publicist, and them, and this journalist. What usually happens is I say goodbye, and the journalist puts down the phone, I then have a conversation with my publicist, right? Just a, yeah, cool, all good, happy with that, yeah, all right, bye. The journalist forgot to put down the phone.
I'm getting tense.
Or didn't. Just didn't forget. Yeah.
Or didn't. I then proceed to stay on the phone. And hear the journalist turn to the person next to her and say, God, did you hear that? God, he was awful.
What?
We've all done it.
Talk about feedback.
We've all done it. We've all done it. You put the phone down, you bitch about that person. But it was so funny. And
did you say anything?
No, I tweeted. But then she tweeted me saying, oh my God, so great to see you.
Oh no.
Don't tweet me afterwards.
Oh no.
Like, and then we sent back a tweet. I tweeted back being like, oh yeah, thanks so much. By the way, you forgot to put the phone down. Then all of a sudden with these emails coming through, she's apologizing.
Oh,
like,
God, the poor girl.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, well, she'll learn.
Like, yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, wow. We all had to do that. I'm on live mics every day. So, you know, it's the same thing.
You've been nothing but delightful.
I was going to say, and if anyone's listening at home, if you're having a bad day, you're not that girl.
But that's what, but you know what I mean? That's it. You know, it's like, some people can have a bad day. Like, you know, that day I just was obviously hella tired and she thought so. So, you know, and her perception, had that not had happened, might have been, she would have gone to her mates and said, oh, that Roman can be, you know,
Yeah,
like boring, like blah blah blah. Yeah. It was just because I was tired.
That exactly.
Day, so,
well, we all vouch for that, Roman. You've been absolutely. You have been great fun. Thank you so much for coming on the show today,
thank you.
And for being a really good sport. So good luck with everything that you need. It's totally flying. So thanks very much.
Good fun.
See you next time, guys.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.